You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Good morning to all of you, those of you who are here on site at Greenfield, those of you who are watching online. This is our English service at 10:30 a.m. If you prefer the Tagalog English service, tune in on Sunday mornings early at 8 a.m. or in the afternoon, we have a replay as well of that. And you can just go on our sites on Facebook and YouTube channels to tune in to those. But we want to welcome you today on a rainy Sunday morning. We hope that you are dry and keeping well wherever you are. If you're part of a circle and you're maybe experiencing some difficulties in your location, be sure to contact your circle leaders. And if you're a circle leader, please connect with your members to see how they are. We want to be sure that our community are well and taken care of, and we do want to help out where we can if you are in need today. It's the Olympics. How many guys have tuned in? I don't think nobody's thinking about the Olympics right now, right? With the storm in Metro Manila with a new enhanced GCQ. Nobody's really thinking a lot about that. But the Olympics are running, and we have several of our compatriots, Filipino athletes, competing there. Remember to pray for them because COVID is also there in Tokyo. They're not being spared from that at all. Not knowing what to do brings distress and disorientation. Do you guys agree with that statement? If you're in agreement, click like online. If you're in this room, give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down if you don't agree, right? Not knowing what to do brings distress and disorientation. I experienced this a few years ago. One afternoon, it was actually about early evening at night. I it was my early 40s. I thought I was in pretty good shape because I wasn't taking any maintenance medication. I didn't have high blood pressure. My sugar count was kind of borderline, a little bit high, but otherwise I felt like, you know, I'm okay. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty fine. But there was some bleeding that came out of my body. So that was a bit disconcerting for me. When my wife came home, I told her about it. Since I wasn't feeling any pain in my body, I didn't think more about it. And she said, you know what, we should go to the doctor. And I said, yeah, you know, we can do that in the morning. It's already late at night. Let's go to bed and, you know, I can go for a checkup in the morning. But she was insistent. She said, no, let's go tonight. And you know, if your wife is insistent on something, husbands, it's best to follow that advice. And so I didn't argue anymore, and I said, okay, let's go. And make the long story short, went to the hospital. I ended up getting confined in the hospital because they determined they needed to do some tests because apparently there was internal bleeding that was happening in my body. Again, I felt fine. I didn't feel any pain. So I thought, okay, you know, it's good to determine what that is. But honestly, I started to kind of feel a bit of distress because I wonder what it is. And of course, my wife was a bit worried as well for me. Next day, in preparation for the test, because they had to look inside my body, I had to get cleaned up. And while I was getting cleaned up, I started to lose strength and energy. I literally felt my strength slowly fade from my body. And so while the nurse was washing me, I sat down and I called out to my wife and I said, Rende! It's pretty much, it's like a fade call. And then that was the last thing I remember. When I came back to my senses, and I totally blacked out, I fainted. That's what happened. When I came back to, my wife was hugging me, praying over me, and telling me to say the name of Jesus. Say Jesus, Jesus. So I tried as best as I could, and I finally was able to utter Jesus. I awoken. They put me back to the bed. But at that point, because I felt disoriented. This stress started coming in. And this is the first time, you know, I actually experienced a panic attack. Anybody here ever experienced a panic attack? It's crazy. So they say it's similar to getting a heart attack, but it's not a heart attack. So a panic attack is you're gasping for air because you feel like you're running out of air, and then you feel parts of your body begin to stiff up. And so my body started to stiffen up, and this caused me more distress because you didn't know what was happening to your body. But one thing came back to my memory, learning about first aid, is when you get a panic attack, is try first of all to get awareness, right? And get control of your breathing. And so that's immediately what I did. While the nurses and my wife was telling me take deep breaths, I followed that instruction. I took deep breaths, and slowly but surely, I eventually gained control of my breathing. My body came back to normal. They put me in oxygen for a while, just to be sure. But that was that. But that was pretty crazy, you know, that encounter with a panic attack, feeling disoriented, distressed, is real. And it's never fun when that happens. You know, when you don't know what to do, this stress and disorientation comes in. And this isn't true just in medical conditions. Many of us experienced this more than a year ago when all of a sudden we were put in lockdown. Our city was put in lockdown. People were told not to leave their homes, to stay at home. Students were not allowed to go to school. People were not allowed to go to their workplaces. That was a sudden change. And when sudden changes comes, the after effect of that, the effect of these sudden changes is distress, is disorientation. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? Not knowing what to do brings distress and disorientation, whether it is because of a sudden lockdown, a sudden sickness or disease that you encounter, a tragedy that happens to you, to somebody that you love, to a family member, loss of work, right? Or just the constant change. Come on, how many of you guys can relate to that? It's like just constant change. When you feel like you're about to experience freedom because, hey, kids are starting to be allowed to go in public, and all of a sudden, a day later, they say, nope, now kids cannot go out anymore, and everybody should stay at home because there's a greater capacity for infection due to another variant of COVID-19. These constant changes that are happening really for our good. I mean, if we're going to trust the experts, it's for our good that these things are happening. They can cause distress and disorientation. So what do you do? What do you do? I mean, we make plans. We try to set our agenda for the days, for the months, even for the entire year. But so many of us have not been able to do that for the last year and a half, now going into our second year. What do you do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? That's the title for today's message. And this is important because as followers of Jesus and believers in God, He actually has principles that He has given to us that we can learn from to know what to do when we don't know what to do. Because when you don't know what to do, it brings distress and disorientation. And nobody wants to live in that state constantly, right? Nobody wants to live in a constant state of distress and disorientation, because that will take away years from our lives. We don't want that. We don't want that. So how do we do that? If you're a believer in Jehovah God, a follower of Jesus, we're going to look at the principles that we find in Scripture today. If not, hey, I encourage you to listen in and to find out, what do Christians actually believe about stuff like this? What are you supposed to do when you don't know what to do? Here's a big idea for today. Knowing our next step brings clarity and direction. Knowing our next step. When we know what the next step is, that pretty much helps us not to be stressed out, right? If you can predict what's going to happen tomorrow, if you can predict what's going to happen next, that minimizes stress, that minimizes disorientation. So it's important to know the next step so we get clarity We get direction and we minimize distress and disorientation. We're going to look at a story that happened in the Old Testament. This was hundreds of years before Jesus was ever here on earth. There were God believers, there were Jehovah followers in the nation of Israel. And at this point in the nation of Israel, they had become a divided nation. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. They had divided because of leadership issues. And so the king at this point of history of the kingdom of Judah was King Jehoshaphat. And he was a guy that loved God. He strived to follow God in all his ways, but he wasn't perfect. And as an imperfect leader, as an imperfect king, you know, he had alliances with King Ahab of Israel, who was walking away, living a life away from God. Despite those things, God loved him so much that he sent a prophet, Jehu. This was a guy, you know, who received God's word and spoke to Jehoshaphat. And he told him, Jehoshaphat, you know what? You're an awesome guy. You're a guy of righteousness, but you have wrong alliances. You have aligned yourselves with people that don't love God. But because God is merciful to you, because you have cleansed Judah of idol worship, of all these images of worship, of a false god, he's going to continue to pour out mercy and grace in your life. Jehoshaphat, wanting to honor God, listened to the rebuke, received the correction, and instructed the nation of Israel to walk in righteousness. He appointed priests, leaders in every part of Judah to instruct the people God's word so that they could walk in righteousness. Now you would think at this point, hey, that should bring in God's favor, right? Because you're now doing right things. You're now following God's instructions. But what happens next in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is different. Because here in chapter 20, it tells us that the surrounding nations, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Mayanites, Yeah, if you didn't know mayonnaise existed, it's right there, the Old Testament. The Mayanites, they were wanting to invade and attack Judah. So Jehoshaphat heard about this, and he's probably at this point like, what now? I thought, you know, by repenting and following God's instruction, things would be okay. But now all of these, not just one, but multiple nations are wanting to attack Judah. And so we pick it up here in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat did what he thought best to do. It says here in verse 3, 2 Chronicles 20, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. That's the kingdom of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now, as a follower of Jehovah God, this was probably one of the best things that this king would ever have done. He, first of all, what did he do? He admitted that he couldn't do it on his own and that he needed help. How many of you guys have ever done that? You know, we're in a situation where we feel like, man, I don't know what to do right now. With the health situation, with my business, with my relationship, I'm in a situation that is causing me distress. I don't know what to do. We need to, first of all, follow Jehoshaphat's example and admit that we need help. That's probably one of the hardest things to do for anybody to say, I need help. Why? Because many of us are proud people, right? We're taught to learn to fend for ourselves. We're taught that we're supposed to use our talents, our abilities, our gifts, our resources to take care of ourselves. But what if we are the one that is in need of help? What if our wisdom, our strength, our resources is not sufficient to resolve our situation? Will we still insist on trying to do that? I mean, that's probably one of the hardest things, to see other people. You know, right? We know people like this. We know people who need help. It's clear that they need help. We've got family members, friends, classmates, where it's obvious if this person would just ask for help, But they refuse to ask for help. They even refuse to admit that they need help, and they will always say, I'm okay, I can do this, when it's very obvious that they cannot. The first thing we need to do when we don't know what to do is to admit that we need help. Jehoshaphat did this as a king, as a leader. Many would say in the world, you know, as a leader, you need to always know what to do. And you need to always project that image as a leader in your home, in your work, in the church, wherever you are. But Jehoshaphat shows us that it's okay to acknowledge limitation. It's okay to acknowledge that I don't know it all. In fact, he says this in his prayer to God in front of all of these people, in front of the entire nation. In verse 12, he says, we do not know what to do. We do not know what to do, but, right? There's a but. He says, but our eyes are on you. That's important. For God followers, for Jesus followers, we have to come to a point where we recognize that our strength, our ability, our wisdom is insufficient at times to overcome, to get through difficulties and situations that is far beyond our capabilities. We have permission. We have permission to acknowledge that we don't know it all. In fact, our Savior Jesus, who walked in humility, showed us that it's okay to be humble. It's okay to walk in humility. King Jehoshaphat, even though he was the king, even though he was the one people were looking up to, acknowledged publicly in front of all the people and before God, Lord, we don't know what to do. But here's an expression of faith. Our eyes are on you. See, it's important not to stay in that place where you just say, I don't know what to do. Because that's just me. Again, it's just me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You don't end up resolving your problem, but it's just talking about it over and over again. But the expression of faith, say, my eyes are on you, acknowledges that there is somebody I'm leaning on, I'm trusting on, I'm depending on, who can help me through this situation. To know the next step, acknowledge you need help. It's okay to do that. And when we do this, when we look towards God, when we lift up our eyes to God, we're actually saying, hey, it's important for me that I seek His presence over my problems. I don't want to keep circling around my problems just talking about it. Do you know people who just like to talk about their problems all the time? Nobody wants around people who are always talking about their problems, right? But there are people that when you see them, they're always, head is always bowed. And the first thing that comes to my mind, do you know what happened? And it's always a negative thought, a negative experience, a negative perspective. It's always the worst things that they see in the world. It's never the good things that you hear that comes out of their lips. And nobody wants to be around. You know, if you're one of those people, you're wondering why people don't want to be around me. Well, check your lips, check your language. Maybe that might be one reason. Sometimes instead of seeking His presence in prayer, we circle around problems. But here Jehoshaphat says, when he called the people together, we're going to see God. We're going to see God. This is what we're going to do. We're going to seek His presence over our problems. We're going to seek His presence over our situations. We're going to seek His presence over the difficulty that we are facing today. This is important. When we admit that we need help, we need to go to the next step and say, Lord God, our eyes are on you. We're going to seek you. We're not going to get circling around the problem, because that's not going to resolve itself. I remember the images of vultures. You know what vultures are, right? Vultures never go for live praise. What do vultures do? They go for praise that somebody else has killed. And they circle around that prey until the original one that killed it is gone, and they go in and eat the scraps. Those of us who are constantly circling around our problems are in a similar state, right? We're looking at other people enjoying their blessing, and we say, you know what? That's not for me, because everything else is negative, everything is bad, and we see only the bad things happening to us, and we talk about the negativity. So whenever favor is over us, when we seek God's presence over our problems, our mindset shifts from the situations that we're in, from the difficulties in this world, towards God, who is a good Father. And here Jehoshaphat is saying, you know what? It's a difficult situation. We're under threat. We're about to be attacked. I don't know what to do. He's disoriented. He's in distress. But he expresses faith. Instead of seeking and talking about the problem, I'm going to seek God's presence in my situation. He resolved, it says here, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord and proclaim a fast. He called for a fast. He called for a time of seeking God. Have we stopped in the midst of the difficulties that we are facing to actually seek God? That might be the reason why we still feel like we're not living that full life that God promised, because we haven't stopped to seek Him. This stress is still present in our life. When we seek God, when we admit help and we seek Him, do you know what happens? God actually responds to us. We don't go to a God that is dead. We don't go to a God that is just created in the figment of our imagination. The God that we serve is alive and well. And He answers those who call on Him. He does. If you call on Me, God says, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. God declared that. And people have experienced that time and time again. But a lot of times we get distracted by the threat of the enemy. We get distracted by the temporary problems in this world. We get distracted by our own abilities, our own concerns, what we think we could do for ourselves. But the moment we admit we need help, the moment we pursue God's presence over problems, we need to have the assurance that when we seek Him, He will instruct us. And remind ourselves, you know, I need to get godly instructions, not worldly distractions. This is my purpose in seeking God. It is to get instructions from Him, not to be distracted by the things in this world. The problem is, if we've never taken time to receive instruction from God, if we've never taken time to get into the Word of God, to find out what He has to say about certain situations and circumstances that we face, we will never know what the next step is. Thank God for Jehoshaphat, that he didn't try to do it on his own strength, that he didn't say, you know what, we're just going to fight these three nations on our own strength, because that probably would have been disastrous. Instead, he acknowledged, I don't know what to do. And so, God, I'm going to come to you. Everybody else, the nation of Judah, come on, let's all see God and ask Him. And in their seeking God, God answered. God answered. A prophet by the name of Jahaziel came and delivered God's message for them regarding this difficulty that they were facing. And the instructions was, listen, King Jehoshaphat, right? This is God's response to their prayer. And all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I mean, you could just stop right there and say, man, that is awesome. That is awesome. It's not the answer that I was expecting, but this is an awesome answer right here. You can actually pause, stop there and say, thank you, God, and celebrate. But God wasn't done. There was more to the message. How many guys love it when God has more? And here, God continues on. He says, you will not have to fight this battle. First of all, He says, it's not your battle, it's God. And second, you don't have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Get out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Man, what an answer. What an answer. I mean, if you want to seek God and you want to find out the next step, God is the best. God is the best because He will always give you an answer. Sometimes you may not like the answer, but the good thing is whenever God gives the answer, the result will always be good. The result will always be good. And this time it was like, man, seriously? You're gonna fight for me? You're gonna fight for us? And that's what God said, right? But sometimes how many of us find it difficult to believe what God has already promised? We are so distracted by the lies of the enemy saying, no, God's never gonna hear your prayer. You're never good enough. You're not good enough. You didn't go to church. You didn't go to the physical location. For God to hear your prayer, you have to be there at Greenfield. Well, we heard in the testimony today, that's not even true. Because God is everywhere. No, because of the sin that you've committed that is so great, that is so deep, God's never gonna forgive you. God's never gonna hear your prayer. It's not gonna happen. And these lies distract us from the promises of God, that He loves us, that He is full of grace and mercy, that He forgives us more than our sins deserve, that He will constantly pursue us. When we don't know the instructions, when we have not sought God, we get distracted by these things. And so we think, man, I'm never gonna get healed. This pandemic will never stop. The floodwaters will keep rising. Those are the things that we will believe. But if we listen to God and we hear His words, He says, you know what, I'm for you, I'm not against you. And Jehoshaphat, thank God for Jehoshaphat and Judah. They sought Him, they heard Him, and they didn't stop there. When we seek God and His instructions, we're able to put in place the enemy's distractions and worldly distractions. We're able to discern what is from God and what are the things that are thrown to us that are lies of the enemy. Sometimes even false teachings from the enemy designed to sway us away from following God. If we know the instructions, if we know God's word, if we are seeking Him, He will instruct us in our next step. But the moment the instruction is given, we are supposed to respond to it. Instructions are useless if all we do is listen to it, but don't apply it in our lives. Here, the promise has already been given. Jehoshaphat, you don't know what to do? Here's what I want you to know. I'm fighting the battle for you. You don't need to fight the battle yourself, but here it is. Tomorrow, you still need to go there. You still need to go and face the reality of the battle. You still need to wake up in the morning and deal with the sickness that may be in your body right now. You may be full of distress, disorientation, right? The floodwaters are still rising, but you know what? I am with you. I am fighting the battle for you. I have never left you. But what I need you to do is to hold on to my word, to trust in my word, to get up the next day and live it out in your life. So they receive the instruction, and what do? They take God for His word, right? One of the things they do is they celebrate, first of all. They're like, I'm just gonna praise in faith right now. Praise in faith. How many of you guys know how to praise in faith? Hey, this is something that every Christian needs to know to do. Praise in faith. What does that mean? It means when you receive a word from God, when you receive a promise from God, when it is acknowledged, you begin to praise God because of that promise. Even if that promise has not yet been fulfilled. Why? Because God has already declared His word. And His word is as good as done. It is as good as done. So when they receive this word, what do? They begin to praise. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground. All the people of Judah, Jerusalem, fell down and worshiped before the Lord. They have not even won the battle yet. Right? The threat was still there. The enemy was still there. The situation had not changed. But despite those things, they chose to praise God. Some of us today need to get up and praise Him. Come on, it's raining hard right now and we can hear it in this room. But you choose to praise God, right? Some of you who may be experiencing floods right now, the floodwaters are rising, but you need to praise God through that flood, because at some point, that floodwater will dissipate. It will. That sickness is temporary because God is the God who heals. This pandemic will not last forever, despite sometimes what we think and what we hear, because God is the one that is sovereign and rules and reigns. So we celebrate, we praise. This is why they say, you know, some of the Christians, people who are not followers of Jesus, look at us and they think they're crazy. Why are you guys so happy? Why are you guys still praising? Why are you still worshiping together? Why are you still loving on people? Because God still reigns. He is still good. He still loves you and me, despite of all the difficulties that we are facing. Jehoshaphat was imperfect, but he did not allow his imperfection to get in the way of believing in the promise of God over his life and over the nation of Judah. And some of us need to get a hold of that revelation today. You need to know that God's grace is so great that no sin, no imperfection can keep you from allowing him to bless your life. You just need to respond to him. So Jehoshaphat, after praising in faith, they get up the next day, right? They're so happy. God has given us his word. We're celebrating. But you know what? We still got to get up. We still got to go to the battlefield. And so the next day, they get up and go to the battlefield. In verse 24, it says here, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Why? Do you remember what God said? God said, I will fight the battle for you. You don't even need to fight it. What happened? Apparently, while they were praising God, God disturbed the enemies and caused them to fight against each other and end up annihilating one another. This is the power of praise, church. This is the power of declaring who God is in the midst of our difficulties and our circumstances. When we praise God, he sends his warring angels to go and fight the battles on our behalf. He sends those in his authority to push back the works of darkness over our lives, over your family, over the church, over your situation. Why? Because he is a mighty God. He is sovereign above all things. They had no idea this was happening. They went there ready to fight because that was God's instruction. God didn't tell them that I'm gonna annihilate your enemies for you. No, he said, I'm gonna fight it for you. They didn't know what that meant. There were no specifics, but the final instruction was tomorrow, go to battle. Go, still just get up and go. And so they went, they were probably ready for battle and expecting God to give them the victory, but when they went there, they didn't even have to fight. This is how good God is. This is how good God is. When God brings a promise, it's undeniable that it is from him. Why? Because none of our efforts made it happen. It was all his. You see, God doesn't share his glory with anyone. And so when he gives a promise and sets out to fulfill it, you cannot deny that it is from him. How many of you guys can relate to this? You prayed for something that was impossible, and when it was delivered, whether it's healing, provision, it came, and you know, man, that's not us. That's not a doctor. That's just God. Because I didn't even lift a single finger. All I did was come to him, pray to him, lift up the situation to him, and declare the promise over it. This is how good God is. The enemy was already annihilated. So what did Jehoshaphat do? His men went to carry off their plunder. Guess what else was remaining? Everything that was remaining was for the taking. So there was so much to be carried off from the plunder. They found among them great amount of equipment, clothing, articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. You know, when God blesses, we cannot contain it. It goes above, beyond what we can ask or even imagine. And all you need to do is to reap that harvest, to reap that blessing that God has already declared over you. And some of us, God has already declared many of these blessings over us. But we haven't taken the time to get up and face the battle. All he's saying is, all I need for you to do is to get up and face the battle. I've already won it for you. In fact, I'm fighting it for you, but I need for you to get up daily. Put your faith in me daily. Take my word with you daily and live your life in obedience to my word. And you're gonna see what I've promised fulfilled in your life. This is what they experience. It took them 3 days. They didn't fight the battle, but they got rewarded even beyond the battle. This is how good God is. And God doesn't stop there. When He rewards and He brings a blessing, you know what happens? He doesn't want just you to know about it. He wants everybody else to know about it. Not to boast on yourself, but to reveal His glory to the nations surrounding. So after this, they went home, back to Jerusalem. It says in verse 27, then led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. What do we do? What do we do after seeking God, receiving an answer, receiving the blessing? What do we do? What do we do? We need to praise Him more. Praise Him more. Or in the title of service, we said, praise Pa more. That's what we need to do. We need to praise Him some more. Why? Because it is from Him. And it's only right that we give it back to Him and to declare that He is a God that is worthy of praise. So when they went back to Jerusalem, they had a party. It was just one party to another party. And as a result of this, all the surrounding nations saw the blessing of God, the hand of God over Judah. And it says here, they had fear. Nobody dared to attack him anymore. Conversely, today, when God, right, when God's hand manifests, God's blessing manifests in our life, the enemy, right, we're marked by God, and the enemy says, you can't touch this. When the enemy comes against us like a flood, God says, I will raise up a standard against him. And when we praise him, that's what we do. We acknowledge that God is the one that is in our life, that He is the one in the midst of our situation. And the blessing that we receive becomes a blessing to the nations as well. They acknowledge that God is in our midst. They acknowledge that God is certainly with you. Because I saw what your life was before. I saw how under threat you were. I saw how distressed you were. I saw how disoriented you were. But when God came in, I saw the change. But all of these things wouldn't have happened if Jehoshaphat had not taken the next step, the first step. And the first step that he did was what? He acknowledged he needed help. Lord God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And some of us need to acknowledge that today in the difficulties of our circumstances, in the difficulties of our sickness, the tough situation in our relationships, the distress that our work is giving to us, or the constant change that never stops because of the pandemic. We need to say, Lord God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. The moment we acknowledge God in our midst, and we pursue His presence over our problems, He begins to identify the next step. And when He identifies the next step and we actually take that step, it is there that we'll begin to see our distress, disorientation begin to fade away. We begin to see the influence of the enemy and the lies of the devil begin to fade away. Why? Because of God's instruction, God's presence, God's Spirit that is in us. What's the next step that you need to make today? Now, some of us, to get sorted in our relationships at home, need to make the next step. Our next step might be to talk to our spouse, to acknowledge mistakes, to talk to our children, for children to talk to their parents. Maybe some of you are experiencing so much difficulties right now. Your next step is just, again, admitting it, admitting that you need help. And talking to your circle leader, talking to your pastor to get help. See, it's only when we take the next step that we know what the next step is. This is the amazing thing about following Jesus. It's like the illustration in the book of Psalms. The psalmist says, "Your word, Lord, is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path." When the power goes out, when it's dark all around us and we switch on the lamp or you turn on your mobile phone light, in the midst of the darkness, you don't see all the steps. You only see maybe a meter or 2 meters in front of you. And the instructions of the Lord is pretty much the same. How God works with those who follow Him is pretty much the same. He shows to us, He reveals to us the next step for today. He reveals to us things we need to know today. In fact, Jesus even said this to His disciples, "There are so many more things I want you to know, but it is too much, it's going to overwhelm you." So He reveals only what we need to know, what is sufficient for today. But the beauty about that is when you turn on that light and you take that next step, what happens? That light goes further and it shines a light to that next step. And you take the next step and the light shines further and you see the next step. The more we follow God, the more we put our faith in God, the more we obey God, the more we know God. And it is only by taking that step of faith, of obedience, that we know what the next step is. Some of us today are so distressed, are losing peace because we want to know all the details. And God is saying, "No, I just need for you to obey me right now, today. Because when you obey me today, it is there that you will find how you will know what to do next." Some of us, God has already given us instructions. Some of His instructions maybe are a week old, some are a year old, and you still haven't obeyed the last thing God told you to do. And as long as you remain disobedient to His instruction, you will not move from where you are. So some of us feel stuck. We feel like, "I don't know what to do. I still don't know what to do." Well, have you done the last thing God told you to do? Maybe that's the one thing that's missing. That next step that God has been saying, "Hey, I just need for you to settle this sin. Just repent it, confess, because this sin is blocking me from working in your life, from revealing to you the next step. Hey, you know, sorting out that relationship that you have, or cutting off this relationship that you shouldn't have. Settling issues in your life that I've already revealed to you that you haven't done yet." Some of us just need to get up and get to the battlefield and take that step in faith. Friend, you need to know that God loves you, that He's for you, that He's not against you. That when you follow Him, just like God told Jehoshaphat, that "I am with you, I'm fighting the battles for you." Jesus repeated similar words, and He told His disciples, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And He went further than that. He said, "I'm going to send an advocate, a comforter, a helper. Even though I'm physically no longer here, you will know and experience me in your life because the Holy Spirit will be in you." God loves you today, friend. Your situation is not impossible. That sickness is temporary. That flood will fade away. This pandemic will end. But one thing we can rely on, God's word will remain true forever. And what He says, He will do.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.